This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Exciting news from Portugal. London Times reporting. Portugal's far-right Chega Party decries exclusion by mainstream groups. Party came in third in Sunday's election and says it should be part of the government coalition talks. The government coalition talks, according to the FT, are led by the Democratic Alliance, AD, led by a man named Montenegro. So what we're looking at here is the right-of-center parties disputing after the election who's the bigger success. But the larger story, I believe, is that the right-of-center surprised Portugal's voting public in winning all the authority to form a government and reversing the policies these last years of the left-of-center socialist government. This is Portugal, the mother home of Brazil, which is why it's a great pleasure to welcome my colleague, Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, who keeps his eye on the Iberian Peninsula. He was in Madrid during the most recent elections that left the right-of-center party Vox short of a majority and even an alliance. However, now in Lisbon, Ernesto, I read this in English out of London, and it occurs to me that something unusual has just happened in Portugal, something that got the attention of all of Europe. And yet there's a trend here. Alternative for Deutschland and Germany, a right-of-center party, smaller but getting lots of attention. The Brothers of Italy in Rome getting a lot of attention, now with the Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni. The Le Pen's party in France getting a lot of attention because of the Ukraine war. Is Portugal, in your measure, following in this trend? Good evening to you, Ernesto.
Good evening, John. Yes, I do think that Portugal is part of a trend. It's, I think, welcome news for anyone that believes that the current European or Western establishment is doomed. So the Chega party, Chega means that's enough, right? The translation, and that's what they're about, and that's enough of establishment policies, including immigration. Totally open immigration, but not restrained to it. It was a very non-visible party up to now. They had only 12 members in the assembly, which is reasonable, but it's little. Now they have 48 in an assembly of 230. So it's a big gain for them. It makes a lot of difference for the Portuguese, because Portuguese people tend to be very cautious. I don't know if Brazil inherited that or not, but they're very cautious about change. They're very, shy about big turns. And many of them are clearly sending a message for a big change. Because what Chega represents is not only the adjustment of this or that policy, it's a much broader message. It has to do with the mentality, the culture, the political and cultural aspect of the country. So, and not only the economic or short term, it's a big investment that people are making. But that being said, in comparing it with the Spanish situation last year, I am hoping that the center-right, which is the Democratic Alliance, Luis Montenegro, will wise up and look at the what happened in Spain, because the Popular Party in Spain spent the whole time, the center-right in Spain spent the whole time bashing the conservative right, Vox party there, during the campaign, and then they were unable to form a government, and the left ended by forming a government, although the center-right had the first place. Now, the clear option would be for the center-right party, Aliança Democrática, to ally with Chega and make a right-of-center government. But they still apparently cling to that sort of stigma that attaches to conservative right in Europe, considering them fascists or racists or xenophobes. And I don't think that's the case, but the that sort of vision is so ingrained in the establishment in those countries that it makes for very bad political choices, I think, from the part of the more traditional right. So they prefer to ally with the left than to ally with the conservative right, which I still don't understand. But let's also remind ourselves of the respective influence of Portugal and Brazil. It makes a difference. There was mutual support between Ventura, the head of Chega, and Bolsonaro. So people on the conservative side in Brazil were so poor of good news recently. They have a boost with that. By the way, I don't know if I can... it's not the direct issue, but tomorrow there's a delegation of Brazilian Congress people are coming to Washington to present the real situation in Brazil in terms of the curtailment of basic liberties. So let's see what that that represents. But what I was mentioning is that the previous Portuguese government, socialist government of Antonio Costa, fell because of a corruption scandal, because of the perception of corruption in the traditional establishment, be it left-wing or right-wing. So do Portuguese want to perpetuate that with a new, let's say, convenience alliance, or they want change? I think they want change. But in any case, it shows that in parliamentarian systems, it's very hard for the conservative message to go through in Europe. You see many countries where they are already the third force, or almost the second, besides Portugal, in Spain with Vox, in Germany, in France. But they can't be, I mean, they are not seen as someone who can be part of a coalition. So I think that's creating a split between the political elites in those countries and their people, who clearly send a message for change and are not getting that change.
I'm glad you mentioned the corruption scandal, because that's what obliged the snap election and the socialists lose power. But I'm told, this is London reporting, it's not just corruption that moved the vote so sharply away from the socialists, who had 41% in the former parliament, but now have less than 28%, I believe. It was also the cost of living. The Financial Times makes the point that people from outside Portugal have been snapping up all of the housing, and that there's very little left that can be afforded by the Portuguese. Have you heard this story, or is it this is the London Times being exaggerated? Because a lot of those new owners are English.
Yes, John, no, that's obviously part of the story. The English are to blame, so to say, but also the Brazilians. Lots of Brazilians, wealthy Brazilians, are buying real estate in Portugal. But that's been a phenomenon for the last 10 years at least. And now it increased because with Lula, many people are moving either to Miami or to Portugal. Those are the main destinations for wealthy Brazilians wanting to get away from what they perceive as a blind alley in Brazil. So, but I don't believe that this would move the vote so much. It's clearly a situation for many Portuguese. They're paying higher rents. But I think there's a deeper sensation of malaise, which turns them against European Union policies, for example, in the European Union approach to, let's say, ignoring, in many cases, the smaller countries' issues and only concentrated on the traditional Berlin-Paris axis. Maybe that's something that has to do not only with what's happening in Portugal, but things that are happening in Eastern Europe, in Hungary and Slovakia, the Czech Republic, for example. But on the other hand, Portugal is very dependent on European Union for its trade and investment. So it's not an option for them to step away or think of a port exit or something like that, like it is for maybe France for Italy. In any case, I think there's a malaise about the whole European Union project. Maybe this will translate not only in national elections, but in the European, very important European Parliament elections in coming June, because it's the European Parliament that chooses the European permission. If you look at a certain perspective, you might see during this year, 2024, big changes to the right in Europe as a whole, in the European Union and in the United States. So if both the, let's say, the cornerstones of the West change direction, this can mean a lot for the world. Let's see what's happening. Maybe Portugal is a bellwether for that.
I want to understand the connection between Lisbon and Brasilia, or at least the influence. Do the Portuguese speakers of Brazil, do they keep an eye on Lisbon and the trend there? Because right now, as you can see, as you've just explained, Lula da Silva is going towards command economy, the socialist route, similar but even more so than he did in his first two terms. And Portugal's going the other direction towards what you'd have to say is a Bolsonaro-friendly free enterprise route. So do the people of Brazil see that? Does it influence their decision-making?
Well, up to recently, I would say no. That Portugal, of course, was a reference for Brazilians culturally, but not politically, because they were boring, like any other European country's policies. You would have center-right and center-left with almost interchangeable programs fighting for this or that piece of power. I think with the rise of the conservative right, Chega in Portugal, Vox in Spain, the Fratelli d'Italia in Italy, the conservative parties and governments in Eastern Europe, people started to think about not only Portugal, but Europe in a different way. Of course, the conservative people in Brazil like it and take stimulus out of it. And the left wing in Brazil use that also as a discourse to say, this is fascism and xenophobia and racism taking hold of Europe. We have to avoid this in Brazil. So as an example or as a counterexample, it's very important. But I think all of that is becoming more and more connected. Ideas are traveling much more because when things get interesting, of course, people pay more attention to the way ideas circulate. Politics is getting more interesting in Europe and South America, maybe in North America as well. And there's a growing sense of the commonality of inspiration and maybe action among the conservative movement. I speak about the conservative side because that obviously is the one that I know about more, and I know more people in that side. So people start to think, to feel it's the same fight. It's the same fight against what we perceive as a corrupt establishment, establishment distant from the worries of common people, concentrated only on woke policies and, let's say, more abstract policies, also control economy policies. So Europe was already going towards much more control. The pandemics accelerated that. Now, if Europe goes the other way, goes toward market-oriented reforms, this can influence South America in a big way. Portugal can influence Brazil in a big way as an example of different policies. But I think it's a global or more general issue.
Right. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. We're going to Brazil because there's a boom town in Brazil. It's in the Amazon, and it looks like SimCity laid out, but the growth in Brazil is in agriculture. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.